tell the assembled devotees Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is about Lord Ram verse. This is from the second canto, chapter 7, text 23. It's interesting because there is three verses here related to Lord Ram, and all the other different appearances of the Lord that are described as these scheduled incarnations. There's only like one verse describing them. So we can see how, even though they're all the same potency, it's like one candle lighting different candles, they all have the same potency. There's one original, but still they have specific functions. And we see Ram is considered to be one of the prominent, or one that's more prominent of the different appearances of the Lord. So, the verse. Asmat prasada samukha kalaya kalesha. Asmat prasada samukha kalaya kalesha. Ikshvaku vamsha avatirya guror nideshe. Ikshvaku vamsa avatirya guror nideshe. Tishtan vanam sadaitanuja avivesha. Tishtan vanam sa daitanuja avivesha. Yasmin virudya dasha kandara artim archat. Yasmin virudya dasa kandara artim Tim Acharyat. Asmat prasada samukha kalaya kalesha. Ikshvaku vamsa avitirya guru nideshe. Tishtan vanam sa daitanuja avivesha. Yasmin virudaya dasha kandada artim acharhat. Asmat prasada samukha kalaya kalesha. Ikshvaku vamsa avitira guru nideshe. Tishtan vanamsa daitanuja avivesha. Yasmin virudya dasha kandada artim acharhat. Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed it. I kind of missed the tune today. So if you can chant the correct tune, please go ahead.
Asmat
Vaishnavis, Asmapashara samukha kalaya kalesha Ikshvaku vamsa vaitirya guru nideshe Tistan vanam sadaitanu jage vivesha Yasmit viruda dasakandara tamarchat Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha Sabasirta viso deleshe Tishtan vanam sadaitanu javi vivesha Yasmin viruda dasatanatata vinata Word meanings Asmat Unto us Beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant Prasada Causeless mercy. Sumukha, so inclined. Kalaya, with his plenary expansions. Kalesha, the Lord of all potencies. Ikshvaku, Maharaj Ikshvaku, in the dynasty of the sun. Vamse, family, Avatirya, by descending in, Guru, of the father or spiritual master, Nideshe, under the order of, Tishtan, being situated in, Vanam, in the forest, Sadaita Anujaha, along with his wife and younger brother. Avivesha entered. Yasmin, unto whom? Varudya, being rebellious. Dashakandaraha, Ravana, who had 10 heads. Artim, great distress. Archat, achieved. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the lord of his internal potency, Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasarath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. Purport. Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers, namely Bharat, Lakshmana, and Satrughna, are his plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators on Ramayana who present the younger brothers of Lord Ramchandra as ordinary living entities. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramchandra is the incarnation of Vasudeva. Lakshman is the incarnation of Sankarshan. Bharata is the incarnation of Pradyumna. And Satrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha. Expansions of the personality of Godhead. Lakshmiji Sita is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord and she is associated with Lord Shiva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Lord Ramachandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers, who were expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and by Lakshmiji Sita Devi. Lord Ramachandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasharath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances. And the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order, even on the occasion of him being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanaji, desired to go with him, and so also his eternal wife, Sitaji, desired to go with him. The Lord agreed to both of them, and altogether they entered the Dandakarna forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramachandra and Ravana, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel extended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana, along with all his kingdom and family. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being along with her husband, Sri Ramachandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana, that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravana. Ravana was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom Lanka into pure gold or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramachandra and defied him by stealing his wife Sita, Ravana was killed and all his opulence and power were destroyed. Lord Ramachandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kalesha, or master of all opulences. Om Gyana Tamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshusunne Tamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayamupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhischa Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the lord of his internal potency, Sita. Is that right? Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasarath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother, Ravana, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him, and was thus ultimately vanquished. So, as Prabhupada said, Srimad Bhagavatam is like the most authentic scripture. And we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Lord Ramachandra is very concisely illustrated or mentioned. And within these verses of Srila Prabhupada, like this verse here is a favorite verse for a lot of people giving class on Ram Nomi. And it's just packed with so much information. We could take many points in the verse and in the purport by Srila Prabhupada to expand on. But we don't have time for all those points. But there's a few points he mentions here about, in the purport he mentions here, how Ravana. And he says here that he was very advanced materially. And he also mentions that the materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity. So we could look around and see who, even here today, we could see, ask, who's interested in opulence and material prosperity? Seems like we all are. It's a nature. And we see here today in society, it's just rampant. As it says here, you say greedy capitalist pig like it's a bad thing. So today it's like everybody wants more. Give me more. Give me, give me, give me. You know? So this is our current, there's a modern American proverb which goes like this. Our current form of capitalism has no concept of right or wrong. It only recognizes what is profitable and what you can get away with. And when you have the government, the media, the military, and the police on your payroll, you can get away with pretty much anything. So this is an American proverb. So we see this. Lord Ram comes to reestablish the original religious principles to get rid of these lower values of what? Greed, lust, anger, ego, illusion, envy. All these are weeds, and they grow from the ego. And they may look, as we're even performing devotional service, they may look like regular plants. But every day we have to discriminate between, is this a weed activity, or is this actually a devotional activity? So we have to every day have a choice to determine what our activities are. And then we can try to act properly. So there's an interesting article. I think it was in the Bhakti Guided magazine. It was in the Vedabase, actually. And it mentioned somebody. I won't mention his name. But it was entitled Glamorous Greed. So early in the new millennium, there was a billionaire. He became a host of a popular reality show where young and eager contestants competed for the brass ring of the presidency of one of his many companies. And it was all based on greed. So this is considered to be a very desirable quality in business. And it'll help you become successful in your career. So it's very much glorified. So they say the point is you can't be too greedy, you see. And now greed is no longer considered one of the deadly sins that we mentioned. It's actually enviable, which is, we see our situation today. And here it says in this article, presumably envy no longer counts amongst the big sins as well, but that presumption would be only the opinion of our materialistic friends. Regarding the downside of greed, Andrew Carnegie is one of the great icons of American entrepreneurship, or Robert Barron's, depending on one's charity, admitted to the pernicious influence of greed when he said, "To continue much longer with most of my thoughts wholly upon the way to make more money in the shortest possible time must degrade me beyond hopes of permanent recovery." So even materialists are saying that this is not good, but we think it is. But it's interesting how Lord Ram crossed the ocean to teach us. He's an exemplar, showing us how to live in the material world, you know, how to develop these qualities. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada also crossed the ocean, and he compared the people of the West to Ravanas. And they had kidnapped Sita, Lakshmi Devi. And many people come from all over the world to take part in that opulence and comfort. But Prabhupada mentions if you go to Lanka, then you become Ravana. So Lord Hanuman's mission was to get Sita from the clutches of Ravana and return her to the service of Lord Ram. So just as Ram crossed the Indian Ocean to go to Lanka to fight with Ravana and to get her back, so Srila Prabhupada also crossed the ocean. And just as Lord Ram was assisted by many monkeys, Srila Prabhupada was assisted by us. And this is our mission in the service of Lord Ram and Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was successful in his mission. And he used the analogy just like the logic of the blind man and the lame man. So the blind man is like America. It's very powerful. But yet they don't have any spiritual vision. And the lame man was like India. When they had spiritual vision, but they were crippled because of so much subjugation and things. So if they two combine together, the culture of India and the American resources, then the world can benefit. And this is what happened. So Durga Devi is mentioned in this purport as the wife of Lord Shiva, and they're both very powerful. And there's a nice story that Srila Prabhupada talks about how they were married, but yet we know they lived under a tree. They weren't interested in all these opulences. They're very renounced, very powerful. But they were told by many of their friends, you know, you're a married couple now, you should get a house. You should build a house. So finally they relented and they built a house. So they're not ordinary people, so they built a house out of gold. So they had this really nice house, and they invited so many people to their welcoming ceremony. And the great Rishi, I think it was Agastya Muni, he came. And they served him very nice. They fed him very nicely. He was very satisfied. And then he said, okay, this is very nice. So where's my dakshin? And because Lord Shiva and Parvati had spent all their, what they had to build this house and to serve the guests, they said, oh, we don't have anything left. And the Muni insisted, you have to give me some dakshin. So then they decided and they said, okay, we'll just give you our house. So they gave the golden house to them, and Lord Shiva and Parvati were back under the tree. So what can we get? The lesson is that we're destined to get what happiness and distress we're going to get. So our duty, we just do our duty, and we can't go beyond what we're destined to have. Just like miseries, they'll come, right? We don't come before the deity and say, oh, you know, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, please give me some miseries today. We don't do that, but they come automatically. So similarly, also happiness comes automatically. So we should not artificially try to increase our happiness, you know, or try to decrease our miseries, but we should use our time in Krishna consciousness and try to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna. And then that will be the permanent solution to all our problems. And in the end, we may be able to go back to Ayodhya or the spiritual world and live eternally with Lord Ram or Krishna. This is our goal. But if we try to compete with Ram and try to snatch Sita for our own enjoyment, then we'll be destroyed and everything will have to be destroyed, everything that we have. So we don't want to be like Ravana. We want to be like Hanuman and rescue Sita and bring her back to Ram. So that's our goal. So Srila Prabhupada came so nicely to give us this message. He came, as we see, all the incarnations of Krishna came with Srila Prabhupada across the ocean and protected him. And Prabhupada is so kind, he's given us all this transcendental knowledge. This is how we become free from this disease of the material world. The fact that we have a material body is indication, it's the emblem that we are diseased. So what is the cure for the disease? We have to take the medicine. And Srila Prabhupada brought the medicine of these transcendental literatures. So we must read them, even though sometimes they taste like they're very bitter. But that's what we have. We have this disease of jaundice. And the Ayurvedic cure is rock candy. So gradually, as you absorb in these transcendental pastimes of Lord Ram, read these transcendental literatures, then we'll be cured from this disease. There's a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Purusho Rama Charitam Shravanar Upadaryan Anrisham Sha Paro Rajan Karma Bandir Vimuchite. O King Prikshit, anyone who already receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. And you can see Lord Ram was the personal example of this. He had no envy of anything. And his so many pastimes we could go into that shows how much he had so much love for his brothers and how he was so equal to all living entities. And even his enemies, if they would just simply, you know, accept him, he would forgive them for whatever they did. He was even willing to forgive, big demon Ravana for stealing his wife. He came and just surrendered. So this is what we want to do. We want to constantly engage in hearing and chanting the Shravanam Kirtanam, and then surely we'll be freed from this disease of envy and we'll go back home, back to Godhead. So also mentioned in this verse, it talks about how the expansions that appeared with Lord Ram, there were expansions from these different aspects of Krishna. As we see here, as you mentioned, Pradyumna, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, they're all expansions from these, and you can see how even Sita's expansion from the different energies of the Lord. And so we could see some of the pastimes of Krishna. We're very fortunate to have such empowered artists to describe these different pastimes so we can view them and learn to meditate on them. So here he kept a promise. Lord Ram kept a promise of his father intact. And immediately he just gave up his kingdom and went to the forest. As mentioned in this verse, accompanied by his wife and his brother. And this is where he met the monkeys, and they actually helped to cross the ocean. Here's the pastime of the deer and the pastime of the crossing the ocean. So here's an interesting... So after reaching the beach there of the ocean, actually Ramchandra fasted for 3 days there, and he waited for the arrival of the ocean personified. And when the ocean didn't come, the Lord exhibited his pastime of anger and simply glanced over the ocean. And all the living entities in there, including the crocodiles and sharks, they were agitated by fear. And then finally the ocean appeared, and she brought all kinds of worship. And she fell at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. And this is what he said. It's a nice prayer I'd like to repeat. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of the Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. And he says, my Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravan, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Ishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. So he says, you know, my water is no impediment to you. You can go, you see. But he suggested you build a bridge. That way it'll increase your transcendental fame. So Prabhupada gives a very amazing purport there about the sun. It said that the sun and urine emanate from the same source. And when the sun is a great devotee or a great learned person, then it's successful. But if the sun is unqualified, it's described that it's no better than urine. So this is some heavy things Srila Prabhupada says. So we'll go on to a few more images here. So this is the battle. So no matter how powerful you may be, if you're condemned by God, no one can save you. But if you are very weak, if you're protected by the Lord, no one can kill you. So here we go. Huge battle took place. And here we see Hanuman. We want to follow in his footsteps and help bring all the Lakshmi back to Krishna's service. And this is a wonderful pastime where he broke the bowl. It's described that he broke the bowl just as a baby elephant breaks the sticks of sugarcane. And when Lord Ram became king of, at that time, it was Treta Yuga, but it was so nicely governed that it seemed like it was Satya Yuga. Everybody was religious and everybody was completely happy. And everyone is described, they were free from any suffering, bodily and mental. They didn't have any disease, old age. No bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear. There wasn't even death for those who didn't want it, which is so nice. And then, let's see here. There's one nice thing I'd like to say before we end, but which is interesting. that when they came back, actually, Lord Ramachandra, he sent his brothers out to go conquer the entire world. And he stayed there with the citizens and supervised them. And Prabhupada gave a wonderful purport about the devotees. They want to engage in the service of the Lord without any kind of sense gratification, trying to enjoy the pleasures of the Lord, even in his kingdom. So therefore, the Lord ordered them to go out and take victory all over the world. And it says here that Lord Ramachandra showed his favor to his brothers by ordering them to go out. Many of the Lord's devotees residing in Vrindavan have taken the vow not to leave Vrindavan to preach Krishna consciousness. But the Lord says that Krishna consciousness should be spread all over the world, in every village, in every town. This is the open order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prithivichi achi yata nagari gram. A pure devotee, therefore, must execute the order of the Lord and must not gratify his senses by remaining stagnant in one place, falsely proud, thinking that because he does not leave Vrindavan, but chants in a solitary place, he has become a great devotee. A devotee must carry out the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tari Ka Krishna Upadesh. Every devotee, therefore, should spread Krishna consciousness by preaching, asking whomever he meets to accept the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says, Sarva Dharma Prajaya. This is the order of the Lord, who speaks as a supreme emperor. Everyone should be induced to accept this order, for this is victory. Dig Vijay. And it is the duty of a soldier, the devotee, to impress upon everyone this philosophy of life. Of course, those who are Kanishtha Adhikaris do not preach, but the Lord shows mercy to them also, as he did by staying personally in Ayodhya to give audience to the people in general. So we shouldn't think that, you know, the Lord was favoring the citizens and not his brothers, but he's merciful to everyone, and he shows mercy to everyone according to their capacity. So we just have to abide by the orders of the Lord. So just a few more images. Lord Chaitanya also enacted the pastimes of Lord Ram. And as Lord Chaitanya even helped the animals chant Hare Krishna, so in the same way, in Kali Yuga, we're like animals, worse than Ravanas. So we're able to take advantage of this process of chanting the holy names and become happy and actually experience real opulences and satisfaction in the spiritual world of Krishna. So I'd like to end there now. Any comments or questions? Jai. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Lord Ram. Glories to Prabhupada.
probably go on sticking for another hour, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even do half of it.
I know.
And I didn't.